This is Richard Wilson speaking. Thank you for downloading One Foot in the Podcast. So I'm a wrinkly, crinkly, but don't shed a tear. I'm not exactly a little old dear. One thing for sure.
Hello?
All right, mate.
All right, Sam. Here we are again, mate. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm all right, mate. I was all right until United conceded two late on. We were 3-1
at
that point.
Fulham, wasn't it?
Yeah. Just ridiculous, mate. You know, even when we're going to win, we still chuck it away. It's nonsense, really.
Hello, welcome to an Easter special. I think it's an Easter special. It just so happens we're recording at Easter weekend of One Foot the Podcast with me, Tom, and my very regular guest and friend, Mr. Simon Smith. Welcome, Simon.
Thank you for having me back, Tom. It's getting close to 4 years. That's it. We were saying off pod that we've
it is 4 years. 4 years since the start of this pod. Yeah,
that's fantastic. I remember sitting in the garden during the lockdown of 2020 and just scrolling through, and found your pod, and the rest is history.
That's crazy. It's mad that people discover your podcast, as it were. You know, it could be word of mouth, something just recommended through the algorithms, or some people just go, I wonder if there's a particular topic that I'm interested in, and they'll search for it.
I put in comedy podcasts, so, and I found the Only Fools one first. You did the Only Fools and the Jolly Boys podcast. Yeah. You did. And then I think it was either recommended from there or I kept searching, one of the two. I can't quite remember. But just, that was it. It was just luck, really, more than anything. And I was just glad someone had done a One Foot in the Grave podcast. So I thought, you know, it's great someone's done one. And I was hooked. I think I just listened to all, because I think you'd only done two series at the time. I listened to all of them back to back. Within a couple of days. And,
what a legend.
Well, that's it. I thought I'd fire you off an email. I didn't think I'd get anything back. And I think, it was just lovely, your reply. And that's been it, mate. So, yeah, fantastic.
And, of course, we've met up a couple of times, haven't we?
We have. Yes. Yeah.
Where we've been to Bournemouth and Christchurch.
Yeah, gosh. That's 3 years coming up to, isn't it? That's
Isn't that mad? Bristol. Mad.
Bristol.
Location
for Fools. That's right. Yeah. Keep saying we're going to do another one, don't we? But it's finding the time. But we'll
say that. I think we vowed to this year, didn't we, to do like a Dad's Army one up in Norwich.
Well, Dad's Army, funny enough, I was talking to my chap at work who's got a caravan up there, and I was sort of planting the seed.
Can we borrow your caravan?
Basically, yeah. How far is your caravan from Thetford? And he's at Cromer, so I'd have to look at it on a map, but it's nearer anyway. Put it that way.
If it's anything like the one from Father Ted, you have to think twice about it. Might fall over in there. It's like in a Force 9 gale.
Graham Norton turns up as well. We're stuck, mate, aren't we?
Father Ted, what a great sitcom that is as well.
Oh, it's timeless, mate. You know, I still be hopefully watching that in 40 years and enjoying it just as every bit as I enjoyed it the first time.
What is it about? I mean, comedy has to evolve and it, not always for the better, but what is it about comedies in the last 15 years that seemingly are a bit, what's the word? They're not that great, are they? I'm watching Friday Night Dinner at the moment. And I think it's quite funny, but as a whole, it's still way off what we're used to.
I wonder if a lot of it is executive interference. I think back in the day, people were just allowed to get on with it and, you know, were trusted. Your David Crofts of the world, John Sullivan, had had successes and were sort of given free rein almost. Probably much less censorship, much less debate, I suppose. You know, there was no internet, so people didn't really get up and get upset about things. So, yeah, there was just stuff went out on the telly. They had the audience research thing, didn't they? It was the audience research index, which was like, you know, what they judged programs by. They asked a random sample of people. But make or break for some sitcoms, isn't it? Whether they got renewed or not. But it's a shame, really. Like you say, there's precious few that these days that you will want to stick with. I'm always willing to give a new comedy a try, but it's whether it's got that something about it that makes it funny.
Is there any new comedy right now that's only a series down?
The one I'm really, really enjoyed was Here We Go. And it's just been finished on BBC One, its second series. And it's got Gerard from Peep Show in. It's got Catherine Parkinson in. It's got Alison Steadman in. It's just great. It's a bit like My Family, 2.4 children vibe, but it's all filmed on a camcorder by the lad, the young lad in the family. So that's the sort of angle.
That sounds. I think that rings a bell because someone. I'm sure I read somewhere that there's like a point of, not a point of view sitcom, but.
Yeah.
Camcorder.
It's got a peep show esque feel to it to a degree as well. In that it, but then it also feels a little unscripted. I think from what I've read, they do just improvise quite a few bit of it. But it's just been funny. It's just been one of those that have been believable characters, and it's worked really well. So yeah, I would recommend anyone to go and check that out. Here we go on BBC iPlayer.
So why am I doing a podcast now? I don't know. I've done a little bit of prep for this episode. I haven't. This is the first episode since the Jonathan Kidd episode. If you haven't listened to that, give it a go. Old Chippy Joe. But, we've got ourselves involved with quite a few podcasts between us. Obviously, I don't know if you are in a position to talk about your other podcast, but, of course, you've got
Men
Being Badly.
No.
We've got Three Comedos.
Got Men Being Badly. Young Darren and I. So Young Darren, he's old.
He's older than us,
isn't he? It's more his podcast. I've just sort of been on it, really. So he's started up a Steptoe and Son podcast, which is been great. We've been going through each series and picking out a couple of episodes, which is a different way to do it, really, and quite a clever way to do it, because it means you can get to the stuff that people will know better sooner, and hopefully engage your listeners a bit more. But that's been great discussing it, because. You know, I always think podding's better if you've got someone with you. I know you started on your own, didn't you, with your one foot? And I've done MBB mostly on my own. And it's a little more challenging. It's not, don't dislike it, still do it. But, if you've got someone to bounce ideas off and discuss, it just flows that bit better, doesn't it? So.
Very true. Yeah. I didn't want one foot in the podcast to completely retire, but it's been in semi-retirement for a while. I just had the urge to do a pod. I got the house to myself. This evening, that just never happens. And not that I couldn't do a podcast if there were people here, but it's just that much less pressure in terms of the kids. If the kids wake up, they're at the nana's, I'm not going to know about it. So,
which is it.
And the other half's at work, so why not? I mean, it's Easter, so hope you're having a good weekend off. Obviously, you're 2 weeks now, aren't you? So you're a teacher, so you've got the 2 weeks off, I presume?
Yeah, it's been quite nice. We finished on Thursday, and then, we've got sort of full 2 weeks and three weekends, because I think we were slightly robbed at Christmas. We only had 2 weeks and 13 days or something in total. So, yeah, we're getting like 16 days. So not that I can't.
I imagine the people not in local government or schools are going... My heart bleeds for you, son.
I know, exactly. Yeah, I have to be really careful who I say that to, because, there's not a lot of sympathy. I don't understand it completely.
I managed to put myself off a good 2 weeks off at Christmas, and I haven't for Easter.
Good stuff, mate.
I've got the next week off.
I'll
be actually sort of not driving past you, but I'll be going to Manchester next week.
All right, nice. I'll give you a wave. I think you're sort of parallel to me. We're in Newark, so we're sort of more on the eastern side of the country. But
happy Eastern.
Yeah.
I'll Eastern. We're seeing family, but there's two or three listeners who listen to my podcast that live in the Manchester area. So I've instigated a meetup. So I'll be meeting Dan, Anthony, they've been on the podcast, and also JD, who of the 2.4 children and British Empire podcast, who I have met previously.
JD's he's an author as well, isn't he? I think
he does.
Sure,
yeah, he's writing a 2.4 children book,
right? I'm sure I saw another book written by JD Collins, and I googled it, and it was him.
I didn't realize what it was, but I picked it up. Developed author. But yeah, that's partly what I'm doing next week, meeting new faces, although familiar voices. I've seen, met them before, so that'd be nice.
You've got your other pod, haven't you, Tom? You've got the flat as a fart pod.
Check it out,
everyone. It's very good. It's like a bit like Chatterbox feel to it, isn't it?
It's me and my mate from school, and there's no theme to it. We are quite flat. The first and only episode we've released is us discussing a premise and a name for the podcast. And he's wanted to dabble in podcasting for a little bit. As he listens to this, he'll go, no, I didn't. It was your idea. But I think he's got all the gear, no idea, and it's wanted to put it to some use. And I think he was interested in podding through One Foot in the Podcast. So I thought, well, it's got to be One Foot themed at the very minimum, so it has to be a completely separate entity. So I thought, well, I'll do another podcast. We've got three comedos, which
I think
we're down to record soon, aren't we?
Yeah, we're going to do an Easter episode, aren't we? Or at least Easter themed, anyway. But speaking of which, Daz has just texted us. How weird is that? We say three comedos, and Dazza from is he in Bognor? I think at the minute, is he gone to Bognor Regis?
Tenby, to be precise.
Tenby, that's right. Tenby in the guest house. Yeah, it's.
He sent us a picture of his Singapore sling.
All right.
his other half's drinking. Well, he's having very a night. Nice. Otherwise, Darren would have been on here today. There's a few things I thought absolutely we'd talk about One Foot related, since it's a One Foot podcast, because we've done a few unplanned ones, haven't we, in the past? But
yeah, we have. We've done a memorial to Doreen when she passed away, sadly. Yeah, that's right.
That was the last time I probably had you on this podcast, wasn't it?
I think it was. Down. Yeah. I think it was. I'm one foot in the grave.
Very occasionally, I get asked about the idea of a One Foot in the Grave festival convention.
Oh, yeah.
I just have to reiterate how almost impossible it would be for me to set one of those up, because I get a few listeners very keen on the idea, and I agree, it would be amazing to do like a very small version of what the Fools and Horses people do. But you just need, I feel like you have so much time and money to set up these things, you know.
Yeah.
But if there's anyone listening who, because I'm not going to name names, but two or three come up with some really good ideas. But I always say the same thing. Oh, I can't really organise. I can help in any way I can, but I think you need good project management experience, a few quid in your back pocket, and just a bit of know-how, really, on how to run a festival or an event. And that'd be so much pressure. I'd love to get involved with it, but two or three have come up to me. I'm not saying in the last couple of days, but over time, they come back a couple of times. Okay. And it's a tease, because I love the idea, but I'm just not cut out for it. So if anyone's listening who would like to do something like that, I mean, it might be fun to talk about what a one-foot convention would look like. First of all, you'd clearly be hosting it in Christchurch. Am I wrong?
I think so. I think it's got to be at the scene pub of the triumphs. Yeah.
At the pub at the Shawford Station. And realistically, guest-wise, I don't think David Renwick does the public appearance thing. So I think Owen Brenham, maybe Janine Davitsky, but I can't see Angus Deaton doing it. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
And you've tried to get Angus on the pod, haven't you? It's been teased and it's not quite come off. I don't know. I think if... You know, obviously there was the cinema screening, wasn't there, of One Foot in the Algarve?
Yeah.
Maybe that's an avenue to consider, to try and tack it onto something like that, you know, so you had a screening somewhere and then have a convention either before or after, because that's what a lot of these conventions do. They show films and stuff like that. So, you know, was it Richard Latto? Am I getting that right?
Yes, Richard Latto did the...
So that's a possibility, isn't it? I would consider a possibility. Maybe not practical, I don't know. But obviously you got Doreen. Doreen came over for that, didn't she? That was a coup.
The closest I've got to organising anything with this is a couple of years ago, I text Richard. Just going to casually say that. I text Richard.
And but you can and do that. You can do that. You've
I can
that
do
wrong.
That, you see. And he will reply eventually. But I just said... What are your thoughts? This is when it was first brought to my attention, but I think one or two were saying, what about convention of sorts? So I asked Richard, what would he ever agree to a meet and greet type thing? And he said he'd consider it.
There you go.
And I didn't pursue it because it would be a waste of everyone's time, especially Richard's time. But I don't think he would now, maybe, but a couple of years ago, he's got that much old. You know, he was old, you know, he was an 85-year-old man when I first spoke to him, but he's now, you know, 88, I think. 87, 88, 89, nearly. I don't know. Might be even... And he's had a back surgery
right
at the end of last year. So I can't remember that. Point is, it's just... I don't think it'd be his cup of tea now.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? If you got someone like him, or you got another headliner, that would open doors, wouldn't it? You know, if you could sort of say, well, I've got Richard Wilson on board. You know, you could see if there's a promoter who's interested or... like you say, Tom, it depends how much you want to do it yourself or you want to get someone else involved with it. Because if you hand something over to other people, that's when you lose control a little bit, I suppose.
Honestly, it's unless the guests are willing to be charitable and pay for themselves to get there, you're going to have to pay for their transport, somewhere to stay
the night, isn't it?
feed them. You might even have to have security on the door, depending on... Anyway, it's...
It's a lovely idea, and I would wholeheartedly support it and help out where I could with it. I think it would be great.
Yeah, I think Ricky, who listens to this podcast, he did say, you know, it doesn't have to be a big event. It could just be small gathering at the pub at Shawford, quiz, and then just to get together. I thought that's a nice idea, but that stressed me out about organising something like that, because I feel like that would be on me to do. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe in the next year or two, but we're moving house in a couple of months, hopefully, and it's just not going to happen. So,
similar theme. I got involved with the Summer Winos. They're a couple of chaps who are. They're not doing it on a podcast. They're doing a blog of every episode of Last of Summer Wine. And I went to a talk they arranged for one of the cast members to do a talk in the actual cafe where they.
You showed me a picture.
That's right. Yeah, Jonathan Lindsley played Crusher. But that was small. There was probably about 10 people there.
Really?
But they organised it and they got him to come along and it kicked something off. And they then took that on. Up to Edinburgh, and then they've took that on the road and they've done a tour. But they just started small in literally a cafe with 10 people and one person talking. So, you know, that's a possibility to try, you know, if you just have one of the guests as a one-off just to try it and then see what goes from there. But
it's a nice idea. Honestly, if I was rich enough to not work and I needed to fill my time, I would plan something. Yeah. But hopefully this little discussion we're having now might trigger an idea in someone's mind and
absolutely
an enthusiasm to do a 1 foot meetup. But anyway, that's all I wanted to say on the matter. We'll do a little quiz shortly. I wanted to cover around called 1 foot in the news just to see what are the surviving cast members doing now. And our main guys aren't from according to IMDb, they're not in anything. I know Richard Wilson had a stint in Out of Debt Saturday Night Takeaway a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he did last year. Yeah, last year he was on. He was in the Murder at Big Wig Mansion. Big Wig, I think it was. But it was great to see him. And he was in a wheelchair. And I don't know whether that was just part of the act.
Well, I wouldn't know that. I think I would be surprised it's because of his back surgery he had.
True. Yeah,
it might be. But do you remember quite a number of years ago where John Cleese came on stage with Manuel, and John Cleese was in a wheelchair being pushed by Manuel, Andrew Sachs. And you think, that was about 10, 15 years ago, but hard to tell if that was just the act or...
Yeah, I mean, you never know with Cleese, do you? He's known to pull a few things like that, a few pranks like that, but...
So Angus Deaton's starring as Kieran in an upcoming comedy, Matchmaker, and it's got Paul Barber in.
A TV show.
Yeah, some TV comedy. According to IMDb, Owen Brenham was in Father Brown, and he's done two appearances, and he played Lord St. John Sprocket. Janine Davitsky, she hasn't been anything TV wise recently, but she's voicing a part in a computer game, a Lord of the Rings computer game.
Oh, okay.
That seems to be quite easy money for actors actually voicing.
Yeah, there's quite a few that go down that route because a lot of time we could just do it from home because they can record it and then send it in. So
yeah, Jonathan Kidd does it. Jonathan Kidd does loads of stuff for games and also Mr. Bean animation series.
Ah, right, nice. So
it does all the various
nice.
It does quite a lot of voices on that. So when I watch it now with my children, I just sort of smirk knowing that's probably Jonathan Kidd putting on all sorts of voice impersonations.
Fantastic. I've had a quick look at some of the wider cast. So Ray Winston obviously still does a fair bit.
The Gentleman.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah, I was just going to say The Gentleman's one of the things he's done. And he was in Puss in Boots, The Last Wish. So that was quite a big role. Spin-off of Shrek or something like that, perhaps. I haven't seen him do those adverts for a while, though. He used to do the was it Betfred or whatever?
Bet365.
He was
the man in the shed. The Miller joke. He was in quite a raw, gutsy film called Scum. Did you watch Scum? Bill Daniels.
Oh, okay. I saw him in The Departed with Jack Nicholson, and he's brilliant in that because he plays like a sort of heavy enforcer. But again, you sort of think 10 years ago he was in Victor Shedd. in short, in Christchurch.
I tried to get him on the pod, obviously, and his agent said he was busy. Yeah. But
right,
little Andrea Temple, played by Helen Lederer, she's Ken Barlow's new love interest in Coronation Street.
All right, she's also going to be on the Bottom documentary that's on Gold coming up.
Yes, I did see that, and I'll give a shout out to the new Hammersmith Hardman My Bottom podcast. I think it's called the Chappie.
Was a new one.
Yeah, it's called. Right. So I'm a big fan of Talking Bottom podcast, but they haven't done anything for it. They've obviously finished now.
They finished. They're doing it. The it was book, really, really good.
They're doing
really enjoyed their podcast. Oh, are they?
Is it Unbound website? Who you can get it crowd? You can get a crowd sourced to write your own, but we'll get them published, and just in the final stages of getting the final draft edited and printed. But the Hammersmith Harmon, he's just a regular chap who's on Instagram with quite a big following, posting Bottom material, and then he's now doing a podcast. And so I think with like 70,000 or 80,000 odd followers, he's gonna get off to a good start with his listening numbers. I can tell you that for free.
Yeah, no, that's it. Not to be sniffed at that.
Fair play to him. Yeah. But she, Helen Lederer was on his podcast, Little Andrew Temple. So that was the at the start of this year, Georgina Hale passed away, didn't she? That's
yes,
April from Love and Death.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
aged 80 on January the 4th. Christopher Ryan does podcasting, not his own podcast, but he's involved in the Doctor Who franchise of podcasts, I think.
Oh, okay, because he was in Doctor Who, wasn't he? He played a Santanarin.
Was he?
Have you say it? Yeah.
Everyone's been a Doctor, haven't they?
Heavy makeup appearance, but really? Yeah, he was good. He was good in it, yeah. Yeah.
Who else have I got ahead on it? Not Trevor Peacock. Daniel Peacock.
Okay.
Is going to star in something called Somebody's Daughter. No idea.
Right.
So I know he's helping out in care homes now, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, which is admirable, isn't it? You know, to have a career on the stage and then go and do something fantastically rewarding but challenging like that.
Otherwise, no one-foot news, really. I mean, last year you had the vinyl that came out with the radio episodes on.
Which... Yeah, they did. And I nearly got it. I didn't in the end. But it's come down in price, isn't it? It's come down to about 20 quid on Amazon now.
It's funny because we had, I did the Jonathan Creek special on this podcast with my mate who did the Flat as a Fart podcast with. And I said to David, congratulations on the new merchandise, you know, the new release. And he had no idea what I was going on about. So I told him there was the radio episodes out on vinyl, still had no idea. I would have thought he'd need to sign that off to some extent.
You'd have thought so, wouldn't you? Maybe his agent does it on his behalf or something.
Yeah,
Something else has just popped in. The guy who played the gas meter reader, Clive Mantle.
Yeah.
He is in Nottingham doing some workshops as part of a play. He's doing a play, but he's also working with schools. Because randomly, I was just looking on a Nottinghamshire News website and his face came up. So he's doing some outreach work, which is brilliant. You know, he's still acting on the stage and
that's good stuff. I remember him being a prominent character in Casualty in the early mid 90s. And
that's right. Yeah.
And his couple of appearances in Vicar of Dibley, which I watched Vicar of Dibley today because I always watch the Easter Bunny special just through sheer tradition. Quite a funny appearance actually in One Foot in that first series. Of course, I don't know if I was always supposed to ask Doreen if there was a relation there because they share the same surname.
Oh yeah, of course.
But I don't know if it might just be a sheer coincidence. But in the scene he's in, Doreen, Mrs. Warboys does brush past him because she's about to be sick because she's just drank something that Victor's given her. I think it was not floor polish, but something. I can't remember the whatever she's drank. You know, it's made her feel worse, and she's just rushed out the hallway past Clive Mantle's character.
Yeah, so
I wonder
that's
if
right.
you're related. I never found that out. David would know, I'm sure. Didn't think to ask him there. Eamon Walker, Hugo in One Foot in the Algarves in Chicago Fire, which I've never seen.
But that's a decent role, isn't it? Quite popular over there, I think.
Yeah. He's made it in America, hasn't he, really, with American stuff. Oz as well, the series.
He's done pretty well. The only other one is Joanna Scanlon, who had one appearance in series 6. She's just been
the district nurse.
She's just been in, not just been in, but was in the Darling Buds of May reboot written by Simon Nye.
Was it Simon Nye? Was it the Larkins?
Simon Nye. Yeah, the Larkins. Yeah. So
he, and our very own
most of it.
our Dickie Drew, production designer,
Oh,
art
brilliant.
director for One Foot. He's had a lot of
Great
involvement with
stuff.
that.
Great stuff.
Shout out to Dickie.
Fantastic.
But yeah, there's not
Fantastic.
much else really going on. I mean,
No,
there wouldn't be,
it's
would there? It's a show that retired 24 years ago, but
that's
obviously with the
crazy.
book.
24 years. Where's that gone?
And
That's
it's
terrifying.
24
Terrifying.
years.
That's terrifying. Yeah.
Well,
Interesting.
anyway, unless there's any more One Foot news, we could move on, I think. I've got a little quiz prepared for you, Si. 10
Okay
questions.
then, Mucker. Ready? Yeah, that sounds good.
Now, one of the questions is inspired by Dan Clay, who has been a guest on the pod. I'm meeting him in Manchester next week. Basically, he got his daughter to quote some quotes from One Foot in the Grave, obviously. And I had to guess the scene, you know, the episode, the scene, what was going on. And it's quite an
Yes.
interesting angle on a question because it's a child quoting and they obviously deliver it at a certain pace. And I got
Okay.
my daughter to quote a few lines for you. And I'd like you to just tell me who said the quote, which would probably be obvious, but the episode, if possible, or what's going on, or just, you know, just what's going on in that scene.
Okay,
And
sounds
what
good.
the next bit I need to work out is how I'm going to have to send you these, but in the edit, I'll upload them properly.
Okay.
So
Yeah,
if you have your phone at the ready, I'm
I have, mate. Yep.
Gonna forward you the first one, mate.
Righto.
Give me your reaction live and then try and just tell me who says the quote and what the episode is. Ready? I'm sending it now.
Okay.
The first
Okay.
one.
Tongues in the weath knot.
Okay, hang on. I'll play that again.
What do you think she said?
Tom's in the weave knot. Is that right?
No. It's obviously she's not meant to have said that.
Oh, okay.
Play it again.
Tongues in the weave knot.
Tongues it tongues in a weave knot?
No.
No? Is it not meant to be Tom then?
It's not Tom or Tongues, no.
Tongues in the weave knot.
Weave knot. So the weave knot thing's ringing a bell. Oh gosh.
To be fair, she's not pronounced it, obviously, as this is the best I could do at the time of recording it first thing in the morning.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right. I'm thinking it's the Secret of the Seven Sorcerers.
Right.
And it's the guy... Oh, no, hang on. It's a... all right, I'm thinking it's a magician episode. And there's two magician episodes. There's the Series 1 episode, and then there's a Series 4 episode, which is the Secret of the Seven Sorcerers. So,
I can tell you that that's not the episode.
Oh, right. that's that out then. Yeah, sorry, I was.
Do you want to put you out your misery?
Yeah, go on. I was just thinking weave knot. I was thinking
she said tongues in a wreath knot. That's Martin Trout from One Foot in the Algarve.
Oh.
Tongues in a wreath. You know when he's on the phone to his editor and he's just.
Oh, I've got it now.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
right. Yeah.
And this
sorry.
Is part of the fun because a 5-year-old
Bark
isn't going to
pronounce
it. No matter how many times I got it to practice, bless her.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's a good one. That's a good one.
I'll send you the second
like
one.
That. Yeah, I can hear him saying it now. But
yeah. Okay, this one you might stand a better chance. Now you're tuned
right.
into the 5-year-old's mindset of how to pronounce stuff. Here's the second one for you.
I see your butts in the show estate.
So that's obviously Mr. Sweeney, Nick Brendan.
Ding.
Owen Brendan. Owen Brendan. And now the episode, that's going to be tricky. I'm going to go a special. I think it's a special. I'm going to say Starbound. Is it Starbound?
It's not Starbound.
Oh, no. Don't think it's Endgame because he's
Series
not.
6.
Oh, Series 6. Right. The Tales of Terror.
Correct.
Tales
well
of
done.
Terror.
Ding to you,
my
friend.
I knew it was later on. I don't know why.
Yeah,
I just knew that was later on, but I just couldn't quite place it. But fantastic.
Okay, I'm going to send you the next one. Oh, I'm going to send you the next one now. This will be so much smoother in the edit suite. Hang on a second.
You have has been demolished. You have has been demolished.
So that is Mrs. Warboys in Luton Airport. No one can hear you scream.
Correct.
In the cafe, and Margaret's
yeah.
ordered him a tenant's pilsner.
Spot on, mate.
Yeah.
Well done.
Brilliant. Brilliant stuff. Nah, it's good line. Well delivered.
He come beat a good mystery.
So that is Mrs. Warboys again.
Yeah.
I think. Only That's a Mrs. story.
Yes, correct.
And it's when she's staying over and they're...
See, you are on a roll now.
Discussing the midget running through the forest, aren't they? And yeah, they can't work out. So if someone fell out of a helicopter, yeah.
Over nice one, mate.
Or something like that.
Yeah. There's three more. I'll just make sure. I don't think you're going to get this one because she struggled to pronounce this.
Okay.
Because I got her to pronounce it in a certain way because of the, how they do it in the show. If you get this, I'll be amazed. No pressure.
This is a wicked idol here. This is a wicked idol here.
She's not pronounced one of those names right, bless her.
It's not witch, is it? Is it witch?
No.
No? Right, okay.
This is a wicked idol here.
I've got idol.
Yes.
And here.
Yes.
And this is a something. Words. This is a something idol here.
I think you're going to get it now. You need to really think.
Oh, right. Yeah, I've got it. Yeah. So this is the Dramatic Fever,
yeah.
And this is the phone call.
Yeah.
This is Eric Idle here.
Even
worse to impression that. But yeah, brilliant. Great.
Because I think he said
got it.
Ulrich Idle, like the Danish version.
I think, that's it. But
just, it's not, I think it is just Eric, like Eric, but.
Yeah, that's it.
Anyway, well done, mate. Well done.
No. But great stuff there from Margot. Great stuff.
Okay, there's just two more for you, Si, on a bit of a roll here. Second from the last one.
Fantastic.
Spam, baked beans and spam. Ah ha ha, very good.
Right, so this is Victor, and he is listening to... is it the Goon Show or something like that? Or
Python.
Whatever it is. Python, sorry, of course it is Python's. And the episode is called... Yeah, that is The Secret of Seven Sorcerers, isn't it, I think?
That's correct, yes. Well done. I got to do the very good at the end, as Margaret's giving him a glare.
I mean, that is a standout moment.
That's one of my favourites.
Fantastically like directed, written, acted. Just perfect, isn't it? Yeah.
You love it. And to the final one, then.
Final one.
To Mr. Meldrew, to Mrs. Meldrew, and the man in the shed.
Oh, interesting. We mentioned it, Ray Winston.
I know.
Yeah. So that's is it Margaret or Victor? I think that's Victor.
Yeah, it is.
The free credit cards applications in Starbound that he gets sent. Correct.
Well done.
And the guy's only been there a week and he's getting the post.
That's a great gag, isn't it? That is such a good gag. Brilliant. I wonder how long he's been in that shed for an advertisement company to recognize that. Someone in the area.
Market research people.
Yeah. Door-to-door salesmen have spotted them, I don't know. Anyway, that's the quiz. So you got 9 out of 10.
Did I? Believe. Ah.
No. Sorry. No. What one about? I didn't ask the other 9 questions yet. Out of Margot's, how many did I send over? 7, 6? I can't remember.
I think 6 or 7, wasn't it?
I think the first one, I can't remember the first one now, but that one wasn't right. But because
4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Seven out of eight.
There were seven.
Okay, 6 out of 7.
Yeah.
And very well done, because that's a 5-year-old trying to pronounce it and do it in their own way. So that's question one. There's 9 others, but they're not long winded. These shouldn't take too long, but I am going to give in the edit suite a bit of a gap so people at home can, try and answer it in their own time. So next question. The theme of animals and insects is a constant theme throughout One Foot. Can you name the very first animal that was found deceased in the show? Just the name of the animal. You can, if you want to name the episode name, that's a bonus point, but I only need
this
the
is
animal.
This is tricky because I once actually sat and thought about every mention of animals being kind of harmed or killed in the episode, in the series, yeah. And I lost count because there's so
well,
many.
It was previously one of my famous questions for one of my previous guests. It might be Nisha.
Yes.
It might have been. No, I think it was Rach, actually. Anyway, it doesn't matter. That was a complex one because that was like, I can't know, I lost count of the number of animals mentioned, but this is just the very first animal found deceased.
I'm going to say the cat in the fridge, but freezer, sorry, but I'm probably wrong.
It's not the cat. I would have guessed that because that was series one.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be too obvious to be that. It was something before that, but yeah, what it is.
It's little pet bird in the garden that's killed by the cat. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, of course.
And that was the first one.
Yep.
I hope I'm right because I definitely went through the episode.
No, great. Sounds right to me, that does, yeah.
Next question. Victor falls foul of the law throughout the series. Can you name the very first incident we, the audience, witness of him breaking the law?
I think it's in the first episode where he gets caught curb crawling, isn't it? And he gets undercover police officers.
Undercover prostitute. Yeah. Well
done. I nearly said the window cleaner, but then I wound it back and thought, there is something in the first, wasn't there?
Yeah. No, that she was one of the first, but not the first. Nice one, mate.
Good question. Good question, that mate.
What were Victor's last ever words uttered while seen alive? I know there's the montage bit, and you could probably make out him saying certain things.
I remember us talking about this. He's on the phone, isn't he? And he's just hung up.
It doesn't have to be word for word, but roughly.
Is it things can only get better?
No.
You
can have another guess if you want.
Because he says it to himself, doesn't he? But it's as if like.
You're making me doubt myself now. Because did he mutter something to himself? But it was a telephone call to Margaret at the station.
Yeah, and I thought he said to me afterwards. I'm probably wrong saying that. But so if it was to Margaret, I don't know, mate. It's probably I'll see you later or something like that.
Word for word, it's of course it wasn't your fault. Anyway, it's over now. Bye.
Okay.
Bit poignant, isn't it? It's over
now.
It's
poignant. It's over now. Bye.
Yeah, of course.
That's it. Great. Great way to end it. Yeah.
What was Mr. Foskett's estranged wife called?
Oh, yeah. Some tricky ones tonight, but yeah. Let's think.
This is where you have to remember the quotes in your head. Just
That's it. Oh, my gosh.
Do you work backwards? Do you remember his boys' names? His two sons? Because I can't.
Everything's just crashing to one at the minute. Hang on. I can hear him saying it.
Yeah.
And because he talks about all his letdowns, and then he says, "Oh, I met my what's her face."
Yeah.
And then things start to look up. Yeah, I'm going to say Violet May. I know it's not Violet, but
no, it's not Violet. It's Loretta.
Loretta. Ah,
Loretta and the boys.
That's an unforgettable name, isn't it? Yeah. No, not doing very well here at all. No.
Don't worry. It's always the way you're put on the spot, mate. You know what I'm like with quizzes. I wouldn't get anywhere. You got some right anyway, Sifa. In Descent into the Maelstrom, where have the Meldrews been dining out? So it opens up with Margaret feeling a bit dicky, and Victor says something on the back end of that. It's not the name of a restaurant. It's a type of cuisine. That's a very straightforward answer to give. Not looking for the Shag Eye Express.
No. Because I know later on they go out to Victor goes out to the
Armenian
reunion,
place.
Not reunion. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah.
Is it Armenian?
No, it's not. No, after I thought it was the birthday because he goes through his birthday, his brother's birthday.
That's right. Brother's. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, cousin, family member's birthday. Cousins are over 60th. I think that's it. Because that's the suit debacle. Greek? Was it a Greek place?
No.
Oh,
it was Indian.
Atrocious. Indian. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Because
right, yeah. Because
he went on a rant about the last time they went there and something to do.
Oh,
poppadoms being fed under the door first. I can't remember the whole line now, but it was a very funny little rant.
Oh, and didn't someone eat his hat and say, "Hey, Mick, this chapati's a bit tough"?
Yes. See, I couldn't remember that, but yeah, that's basically derived from that moment. Shouldn't have had that.
That's
dodge,
right.
Shouldn't have had that dodgy Indian or something. I don't know.
That's it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Next question. In One Foot in the Algarve, how did Afonso eventually discover, through Jean's help, that his wife had not died? What was the evidence to suggest this?
So they were both the same side shoes that she had that had been found at the bottom of the whatever it was, the cliff drop, wasn't it?
Left or right? You got it. You got the question right, but do you remember if they were left or right feet?
Left.
Yeah. Yeah. I can only imagine.
Yeah, that's good.
David Renwick thought, "I better use the left ones because it literally means I've left them behind. I'm left." So he thought, I may as well use that as the
seat. That's good.
Yeah, well done, mate.
That's right. I've got one on the regular bit. That's good.
In Hearts of Darkness, Mr. Sweeney saw Watts having sex.
Two frogs.
Correct.
It's the joy in his voice, isn't it? Like, as if anyone wants to see
He's absolutely loving it. In The Secret of the Seven Sorcerers, which is a common theme tonight, the window cleaner played by John Cassidy appears in which other episode?
That's a very good question. Is he one of the police officers in The Monday Morning Will Be Fine?
No.
I know he's in another one because I remember looking him up before. So I'm not allowed to guess, am I? No.
You can guess, yeah. Just let me know.
Let me just wrap my brain, and if I can't, then I'll give up. But he's definitely not the Market School guy, because that's Jonathan Kidd, isn't it?
Yeah.
Trying to think, because is he a bold guy? Window cleaner. I feel like he plays a similar role in his other appearance. He's a similar sort of person, some sort of. Nah, I don't know, mate. Don't know. Some sort of tradesman, I'm going to say.
I'll give you a clue. He brought some property on the moon.
Oh, of course. Yeah. He's the nurse, isn't he?
Yeah.
He
preparing him. Victor for his operation. Oh.
Yeah. Good question. Yeah.
Our final question. In Warm Champagne, Patrick bemoans receiving someone else's package, in this instance, a cake meant for 19 Rivers Bank. What is the cake celebration? The cake does show you what it is and, the celebration in question.
So it's someone's 90th birthday, is it?
Yes, spot on, Trotter. I didn't. There no, go, I thought mate. You might go. It might be birthday good. Cake, but not guess the birthday. But well
nah,
done.
I think it was because she's quite an old girl, isn't she? Obviously, it's implied that Victor's practicing necrophilia by Margaret.
Is it actually that lady? It is, isn't it? Because that's
I think so. Yeah. I don't know, actually. Sorry, might not be then. Actually, might not be. No,
it must be right. Because it's too much of a coincidence to for Patrick to get the wrong item for the wrong address. And then you get an old lady who looks old going up those stairs into their bed. Was it her 90th? But I don't know.
Or unless that street is like a sheltered accommodation and it's got lots of elderly.
I expect it is.
Maybe.
Yeah. Riversbank. Yeah. Anyway,
good stuff.
That's the quiz section done. Well, very well done.
I had a few for you if you want them, mate. But you don't have to.
Okay. Go on. I did ask you to be fair, but I was thinking maybe you're gonna have time.
Hopefully they'll be not too challenging, but. So, yeah, question one, whose incorrect glasses prescription causes him to take home the wrong wife from the opticians? This is series one.
Yeah, is this Our Tie to Bedlam or...
It is. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
This isn't my wife, you see. Yeah. Is it Mr. Parslow?
Mr. Parslow, the one and the same of Croker Street or Coker Street. Or whatever it is. Fantastic. Okay, question two. In the finale of series one, can you name any of the people who are listed in Your Prayers Are Asked? So Victor's reading from the newspaper and there's a prayers are asked section and he runs through a couple of people who are arriving
I remember the scene. I can't remember who he mentions. To Aunt Joyce. I don't know.
So we had Great Uncle Dick, which I don't know if that was just one of Renwick's phrases he liked for his suffering. Dennis and Deirdre on their tragic loss. And then Auntie Jane, that a miracle cure can be found. So, there we go.
No, that's the sort of thing I don't remember.
Yeah, that's the tricky. I just thought the old tricky one in there. Question three. I think this is Timeless Time. Who is a local character who Margaret discusses that carries her own toilet seat around?
I can't remember She's that.
It's a nickname given to her. So it's not like, you know, she's got like a proper name, but a nickname given before that.
Because there is a similar line in The Man Who Blew Away. How many people do you know who sit facing the system?
That's
backwards?
It, facing the system. Yeah.
Is it that same character they're on about, do you think?
I don't know. No, I don't know. I'm not sure. But no, this is just, I think. This is quite. It's a funny name. Remick had some fun writing this, I guess. But
what's she known
for? I said she was, if she was rather large, would that help?
Broadmoor,
rather large lady. Broadmoor.
That's the thing. Hey. I needed a clue to that one.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Good stuff. This one should be a bit easier. Where has Mrs. Warboys been on holiday when she's speaking to Victor on the phone in the trial? So obviously Victor's
She does ring, doesn't she? But the faintest. Is she abroad?
She's gone over some water. Not gone that far. She's gone over
Guernsey?
Some water. Not Guernsey.
Isle of Man?
Not Isle of Man.
Oh, Isle of Wight.
Not Isle of Wight.
Oh.
It's an island.
Scottish Island? So one of the many.
It's in Ireland, the country. Island itself.
Oh, it's in Ireland. Sorry, I thought it was
Ireland.
A little island.
Ireland.
Over
Ireland.
Water. I don't know. Dublin? Belfast?
Dublin. No, no.
No idea.
It's Cork. She's been to Cork.
Oh, right.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I suppose it is like slightly forgettable. But
It's one of the trial is one of those episodes it's highly regarded, isn't it? But
yeah,
those are one of the episodes I don't often watch because it's I miss all the other characters, basically, even though it's a masterclass.
That's it. It is him doing a monologue, isn't it? It's yeah. Great. Okay, question five. Which actor shares The Office, the UK one, and One Foot in the Grave on their CV? Who's been in both One Foot in the Grave and The
it's
Office.
Lucy, what's her face?
Daughter. That's it, you've got it, mate.
What's her surname?
Yeah, Lucy Davis.
Jasper Carrot's daughter.
Jasper Carrot's daughter, that's it. Fantastic, yeah. It took me years to recognise her, even after I've watched The Office for years, because I think she's fairly young in that, isn't she?
She's very fresh-faced, but really a few years apart. It's 96.
That's it.
5 years later, it's not that.
5 years later, she's not. But yeah, I don't know. I just never tweaked at all until I think I looked it up one day. And there So question six, series five, I think it's The Exterminating Angel. Mr. Swaney plans to take Tanya where on their date. So he's set out a plan for the date and it's going to backfire, but...
Wasn't it the silly walk thing?
So it's a silly walk, but then he was going to ask her out for a date afterwards.
I think to a restaurant, but I can't. A pizza place.
Restaurant, that's it. Fantastic Italian. Yeah.
Oh, Italian. Pizza, Italian, there you go, yeah.
and an Eddie Murphy film. So the new Eddie Murphy film and an Italian restaurant. Not that bad,
but yeah.
So I wonder what that would have been. Would that have been The Nutty Professor, maybe?
Nutty Professor.
Possibly. Beverly Hills Cop. Been that one, maybe.
Dr. Dolittle, was he in that?
Dr. Doolittle, he was in that, wasn't he? Yeah, good nice stuff. Question seven, what present does Margaret buy Meg as a wedding gift?
Sanitongs.
Salad tongs.
Oh, Meg, look at these. Why was she showing? I know she's panicked, but I wonder why.
I know. Yeah, I always wonder that. But she's delighted, though, isn't she, Meg? She's very happy.
Yeah.
Right, this is a tricky one. This is a similar sort of vein to your questions from Margot there. In which episode are Patrick and Vicar found listening to each other through glasses held against the wall? So they're both, one's got spaghetti, one's got a giant glass.
I just heard the words arsed, as he think he said. I think that might be Pit in the Pendulum.
Oh, yes. Well done, mate. That is brilliant. Well done. That's tricky.
4 years ago, mate, I wouldn't have got that. I've learned a lot in my journey.
I had to watch back the episodes, but I think I went to that one first. I just randomly thought, I think it's series four, because I'm sure the dog's in it by that point.
Nice.
So, yeah, good answer, mate. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, question nine. In Love and Death, how does Victor's night at the pub end?
Well, very
we
drunk.
We don't see it yet. But what is he actually
was he,
doing?
Oh, was he something to his shoes? I can't remember the exact. No. Pretending to be a seagull.
That's it. Yeah, found in the lavatory making seagull noises.
That's it. Nothing to do with shoes. That's the main being badly. What with Gary he's being sick into his shoes or something. I can't remember the.
Gary's trying to climb into his shoe.
That's it. In the rave episode, yeah. Love that.
And then question 10, this hopefully you'll be fine with because we were discussing this the other day. The Dawn of Man parodies which 1960s sci-fi masterpiece?
Mm-hmm. Psycho. It's not, is it? Dawn of Man. Oh, Dawn of Man. Oh, sorry, sorry, sorry.
Yeah.
I was thinking Tales of Terror.
It's all right. It's okay.
No, no, it's Planet of the 2001: A Space Odyssey.
Yeah, got it, mate.
It's really embarrassing because I realised I didn't really know that at the time of doing the pod. I was watching 2001: Space Odyssey, as you just mentioned there, and I thought, oh, God, I know that when I had Renwick on, he said, of course, Richard did that marvellous take on the, you know, the when he's smashing the television polystyrene, mimicking
right,
what
yeah,
in
yeah.
The Space Odyssey. And I thought, oh, I didn't know that was based. I didn't know because I hadn't watched it. So, of course, a good podcaster would have gone,
Right,
of course,
yeah.
this is in a direct comparison to the famous Stanley Kubrick film. And I didn't know that at the time. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Good, nice little quiz for that. I hope people back home
Nah,
have
good
enjoyed
stuff. Yeah.
both our
That's it.
quizzes, both excellent quizzes.
Have excellent quizzes in their own way. Yeah.
Now, I did put the word out there on Twitter, X, sorry, Facebook. You know, what could we talk about? And we've done a little quiz. Someone mentioned the One Foot in the Grave Festival. I know Dan Heath mentioned that as a joke, because he knows I've been asked that a few times. We don't
Yeah.
have done the quiz, but someone said if One Foot in the Grave were to return with an entirely new cast, which I know wouldn't go down well and it wouldn't be welcomed, but you had to hand pick some probably well known actors to play the parts. In fact, actually, I think unknown actors would be better to
Yeah.
recast. But
Yeah.
that's just for fun. I've come up with some actors and actresses for Victor, Margaret, Jean, Nick, Swenya, Patrick, and Pepper. Just the main lot. I'm happy to
That
talk
sounds
about that
good.
with you now. You
Interesting.
might just tell me what you
Yeah.
think. I've come up with four possibles
Okay.
for Victor. Okay, Ade Edmondson.
Yeah, physically,
Visually,
there's that visual comparison there. Yeah.
He could
Yeah.
probably be very manic with his performance, like
Yes. Yeah.
Victor.
Yeah.
He's probably at the right age. In fact, he's older than Richard Wilson was when he first started.
I mean, that's a terrifying thought,
That's a
isn't
terrifying thought.
it?
And of course, he's
Yeah.
worked with Renwick before in If You
Yes, he
See God,
has.
Tell Him,
And
amongst other
Jonathan
things.
Creek.
Creek, yeah. So I
Yeah.
thought he could be a good chance that could work. I mean, let's get it straight. No one is going to get anywhere near the quality of the original cast, but this is just fun, isn't it? And
It is, yeah,
never, you
no.
never
Yeah, he's.
know. You just never know what they might try and do next. I mean, David's
No.
retired, isn't he? He's not
Yeah.
interested in rewriting anything. But in 30 years' time, you can just imagine him go. Let's just, you know, they did it with Reggie Perrin, didn't they? With
Yeah,
Martin
they
Clunes,
brought Richard Pretty back. They did.
for a
Yeah,
one-off
yeah.
series. And I'm not saying it's a success, but they've done it with Dad's Army, of course. You just don't know, do you?
Yeah, that's a good shout. Yeah, because he does angry quite well in Bob, doesn't he? When he's Richie Eddie's quite an angry character, so you can see
Yeah.
those traits. Yeah, frustrations with the world.
What about this one? Rhys Shearsmith. Now, visually,
Now
doesn't
he
look.
is an angry guy.
He's an angry guy. So that's what I'm going from. Like Inside
Yes.
Number 9. So League of
Yes.
Gentlemen.
Yes.
He would be a different image to Victor. But, you know, you could always dress him up to be
Yeah.
balding guy. But I think his professionalism in acting alone with playing the stressy guy could work. That just came to
Well,
me. But
he plays Jeff Tibbs in The League of Gentlemen,
yes.
and Jeff's a very manically angry guy. I mean, sort of really sort of dialing it up. But yeah, if you brought it down a few notches, then
Yeah.
yeah, I think he could do really well. I love Reese. He's a fantastic
He's
actor.
great.
Yeah, so no, he would be great. That's a really good. I hadn't thought of him at all. That's
No,
a really good shout.
third one, Timothy Spall.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
I've gone
yeah.
purely on looks with that, and he's a northern actor, isn't he? Like Reese Shearsmith, but obviously, you know, you like to think they could put on that very weird Scotch accent. That obviously Richard
Well, that's
Wilson
the
is
thing. Would he?
Scottish,
Would
but he's
he?
posh
Yeah.
Scottish.
Would they bring him back as a Scottish? Because obviously, you know, that's Richard Wilson's
How many
reputation.
years did
Think
you when you watched One from the Grave growing up, presumably in the 90s, like
yeah.
me, did you know he was Scottish?
Not at
I
all, mate. It
didn't.
never entered my
He's a
mind at all,
posh English
and
guy.
it never entered my mind that Margaret was Scottish either. I
No.
just took it to
Because
be
it's
that
an
was just an
English comedy set
yeah, that's
in
it.
outside
And
London, we
everyone
think.
else around them does speak,
Yeah.
quite, quite pronounced English. So it is
And
weird, isn't it? really think about it.
Obviously, growing up being a Manchester United fan, having always listening to Alex Ferguson speak, I thought that's a Scottish guy. Yeah, Richard Wilson, so. I know there's a dialect that is quite broad across, you know, the spectrum of Scottish accents, but I just thought, I can't believe he's Scottish. But
it blows your mind, doesn't it?
I think when Richard's talking, like, you know, as Richard Wilson himself, he sounds that much more Scottish. But with Victor, it seems to be toned down a bit, whether that's done on purpose or not.
I think so, yeah. No, I reckon so.
But Timothy Spall, I don't know, he's one of the great actors.
Yeah, he'd be great. He's a good character actor, isn't he? He was in Our Feeder's Own Pet, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. It's a memorable one-off episode of Red Dwarf, who plays a brummie. I do like him. Good actor. Played Peter Taylor in The Damned United. Very good as that in that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mentioned Red Dwarf, my final Victor was Chris Barry, purely because he's a good impressionist.
Oh, yeah.
And he's about the right age. And I think he's bold now. And
and he's not doing much. I really want him to do something because Red Dwarf's sort of gone semi-hiatus again.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was talk of a British reunion, which I bloody love. I'd love him to be British again.
Would you?
I think it's crying out for it. You know, if we can bring some of the other shows back that we brought back, then we can bring the British back. I think so.
I think that's just the way. Yeah. There was a period in the 2000s where old comedies were coming back and doing comebacks, and that hasn't happened for years.
The only thing they did was they did a read through. I think it was just after the second lockdown, 2021. The cast did a Zoom read through, which was brilliant.
Oh yes, I do remember that. Yeah, yeah.
It was fantastic, and it was free to watch as well. They just did it just for, I think, a fundraiser.
Now, I don't know if you've got any other Victors, if you've thought of any.
I think the one Victor I had was, and this is a bit of a left field one, but Hugh Dennis.
Oh, right. Yes.
I just sort of thought he plays that part in Outnumbered of a sort of browbeaten guy who's kind of everything he tries to do goes wrong. And I just think he's got good range, Hugh Dennis. He's been in a Bond film recently, hasn't he? He's just been in some really intense Channel 4 drama, which I haven't seen, but my wife watched and said it was really good. So I think he's got the range. I just think he's getting a little bit older now. It'd be an interesting take from him. But
yours is a good shout.
I do think. But I like your Reese suggestion. I think your Reese would be a great suggestion. Reese, isn't it? So.
Yeah. Aid Edmondson is more of a romance sort of throwback. That'd be great to have him back in the comedy. And it's working with Dave Renwick again. And he kind of almost looks close-ish to Victor, but it's more about...
Yeah, he does. He does, yeah.
It would be wrong to cast someone who looks like them. Rather, they need to really sound and be like them.
Yeah.
Through the characteristics. I think Hugh Dennis or Reese Shearsmith could be a good shout for one of those two. I don't know if any listeners have any other suggestions. I'd love to hear them. We're not saying they perform as well as Richard, of course, but on to Margaret. There's only really one person that could play it. Who do you think I've put down?
Yeah. Caroline Quentin?
No.
No? Okay. No, I thought you might say Caroline Quentin.
No, she could.
Okay.
No, you're not wrong there, because I've just gone straight to her daughter.
Thinking who else? Because she's... Oh, okay, yeah, of course. Yeah.
It's got to be. Whose name escapes me.
We have said that she is kind of very, very similar in her delivery when she's in Benidorm, isn't she?
Yeah, and Jonathan Creek as well. She just sounds the same. It's the same.
Sounds the same. Her delivery's the same. Her face is very similar. Yeah, that's a great shout. I hadn't even thought of her. Don't know why I hadn't thought.
Why
of
have
her,
I forgotten her name? Griffiths something Griffiths.
Yes, Pauline. No, she's Pauline in Benidorm, isn't she? Sienna, Iona.
Sienna Griffiths?
Sienna Griffiths. There we go.
Yeah, it's like my surname, but with the S. Yeah, Sienna That's Griffiths.
Right. Great shout.
Actually, I just thought this then. I was thinking, if we go straight to Pippa.
Okay.
Obviously, Pippa's daughter is an actress. She's up and coming. She looks just like Pippa. So you think her. But also, before I remember that, Olivia Colman.
Which
she's a bit of a... She's
elevated. If you got her 20 years ago, just after Peep Show or Antenna Peep Show, we'd be all right, wouldn't we? But she's a lister now. I had Diane Morgan down for that.
For Pippa.
I just thought, and I don't know why, I had Joe Wilkinson down as Patrick. I just thought he could do
Joe Wilkinson as Patrick.
I had Matthew pissed off neighbor type thing.
I had Matthew Holness.
Oh yeah, no, he would be good. He would be good. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was googling.
Joe Wilkinson.
Yeah, Matthew Holness has quite the dryness and the
Yes,
that
he
kind
has.
of face.
He has.
That is
No,
just
that's a good one.
never
Good shout.
satisfied at anything he sees.
That's true. Yeah.
Can't please everyone kind of guy. He's that. It's him, isn't it? Matthew Holness. I tell you what,
Yeah,
for Nick
that's it.
Sweeney.
Go on
I don't know
then.
if you had any more for Patrick, sorry, or
No, that was it. So Joe Wilkinson. Yeah, it's
now Nick
I
Sweeney,
don't just
I'd have Owen Brennan back in a heartbeat, but if he ruled it out, Rory Kinnear.
I love Rory Kinnear. I absolutely love him.
And he's not known for it being in, his dad was in, he's a seasoned
his
pro, he was
dad,
in Till Deaths Do
yeah,
Part a couple
that's
of episodes,
right. And
but
his uncle used to manage Wimbledon, didn't he? Joe Kinnear.
was that
No,
the
I'm joking.
relative? Because
I made that up.
are you making it up? Because I
I
totally
made that up.
believe
Sorry
it.
about you.
Joe
No, sorry,
Kinnear,
mate.
what a legend
Just
in the
completely made that up. Yeah, no, he was in Count Arthur Strong. He plays a fantastic character in that, and he's in obviously Tanner in the Bond films. So he's well for himself. But no, he would be good because,
Right sort of age
yeah,
almost. I mean, he's a bit,
that
he's
sort of
older than
age,
Owen
right
Brennan
sort of
was.
face, that sort of Boy Scout, you
Yeah.
know, living with his mum type face. Yeah, great shout that one.
Now, I had fun looking. I come up with three actresses for Gene Wallboys, but did you get anyone for Gene? It'd be fun if we matched them, wouldn't it?
I you might not like this. I thought Miranda Hart, but I know you're not a big fan of Miranda, are you? It's
I had Miranda in my mind, but
okay,
she's
yeah,
only because I googled funny female
that's
comedians.
it. Yeah,
She comes. I thought I just couldn't. But you think she'd
no,
be? I could. Do you know what? She was funny in Not Going Out.
yeah.
First series. That's the cleaner. I have to give her credit where it's due. But in Miranda, not my cup of tea. But.
She really plays it up, and it's you have to be in the mood for it. You know, it is a bit silly and a bit slapstick. Yeah,
But
I don't know
she
if she
would
fans.
probably play that role well of putting her foot in it and being a nuisance.
Absolutely,
Did you have anyone else for Gene?
Tamsin Greig, who you've just been
Oh
watching in
right,
Friday Night
yeah.
Dinner.
I did think
Yeah,
of Tamsin Greig actually.
yeah. Okay, I just thought she would be good as a gossiper. You know, she in Friday Night Dinner. She's quite sort of like a bit like that. You know, likes to chat about stuff. So, yeah. But again, she's just about the right age, I think, as well. No disrespect to her, but if she's listening.
Well, the three I come up with, Jennifer Saunders.
Great shout! Yeah,
She's a
great
legend
shout.
in what, you know,
She
she's
is.
one of the great comedy actresses.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whether she's, I mean, imagine her and Ade Edmondson in the
Oh, it'd be
show.
great, wouldn't it? Great. Husband and wife team in it. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Joe Brand, the comedian, obviously. She's not a seasoned
Again,
professional.
you know what? Funny enough, right? I couldn't stand Jo Brand, but I've really warmed to her. She did a sitcom called Damned, set in social services, and she was brilliant in that. I think she wrote it. Yeah, her delivery is so dry, isn't it? I could see her doing it. Yeah, dry and deadpan without sort of, you know, very what's the word? Not very self-aware of what she's doing. I could see her doing that. That's a great, good suggestion. That, yeah.
And finally, Pauline Quirk as Jean. Pauline
Yeah,
Quirk is now at her age.
again, she's got the
She
acting chops, hasn't she? She's got the
kind of
sitcom
plays.
chops.
She obviously we know her. She's Sharon in Birds of a Feather and.
She's Sharon, yeah. Sharon Theolopodopoulos, I think it is, isn't it?
But
So
I was just thinking, I want someone for that, to play that. They have to be over 60, I think, for Gene.
yeah, I agree. I agree.
Yeah, I think if they've been around the block in the comedy world, that helps.
Yeah,
But I don't
that's
know.
it.
I don't know if any of them would cut it. People say leave sitcoms alone. I get that, but it would be interesting if they were going to do the stage play. Love to know who
Yeah.
Renwick had up his sleeve in the casting area. I don't know if he got that far. But it would have
Well,
been
it's
interesting.
interesting that they nearly cast Les Dawson as
They
Victor, didn't they?
did.
I mean, imagine what it would have been like.
Would have been a couple of
I don't
series
know.
though, because he passed away, what, 93 or 92,
Yeah,
whenever it
see,
was.
so you're then left with having to either reboot it or just pretend it's not happened or promote with a new character. So, yeah, these things happen for a reason, don't they? Is it because is it? I remember rightly, Richard Wilson kept turning it down, didn't
He
he?
did.
He thought he was too young to play it, and yeah,
Yeah, he did.
which that's right. So.
That's like the one bit of trivia that's always sort of repeated, that's always brought to the surface. You know, he did turn it down, and I'm sure he's glad he he didn't, because he hadn't really had a prominent lead role at that point, had he, in
no,
TV or comedy?
Very good in sort of bit parts and stuff, but
I think that's a good place to finish on our recap. Fantastic. Of One at the Grave, and thanks for joining me, Simon, on this Easter special.
It's been a pleasure. It's been really enjoyable. It's like putting on this is a David Berwick line, putting on a comfy old
jumper.
That's it. Sweater. Yeah. When Maddie gets that guy to lip read, what Victor say? Victor,
I'm sorry, Mr. Bellenditis.
But Bellenditis. Which is inflammation of a foreskin, isn't it?
But no, it's been good to
crack that up.
The dust off the microphone and doing One Foot Pod. Absolutely. I hope to do some more. There'll be three comedians coming up soon. Bit of Flat as a Fart, a bit of the Step Turn Pod. All sorts coming in your ears. Coming in your ears.
Surely FM.
Surely FM. That's Max and Pat, isn't it? But thanks, everyone. Simon, take care, mate.
Yeah, mate. Cheers, Tom. Thank you.